Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
We are, because he's just manifested so many wonderful things in our life. So this morning, with the time that I have, I just want to share something with you. And I'm in the mode today that we've done talking about the gates. I believe that it was really an instructive time for us to really think on rebuilding our life. There's so much going on in the word, in the world today, and that could kind of bog us down. When I listen to the news and stuff, I cannot believe what I'm hearing sometimes. Anybody? I mean, am I the only one? I hear all the craziness. But I'm so thankful that I belong to the kingdom that is not of this world. Hallelujah. In the kingdom, there's shalom. In the kingdom, there is love. Anybody in the kingdom today? Like, you know, all that crazy stuff going on. But please do not let the world situation get you down. You are the light. That's what you've been called to do. The word says that we're salt and we're light. We create that change. We bring light into dark situations. We cannot be dark. We have to continue to be what? Light, right? And so this is what I tell people. We need to be people of the word, not of the world. The word tells us that we're in the world, but not of the world. So that means that we are not worldly people, but we are wordy people. Got it? Anybody of the word? And this is a simple thing. If you're of the world, just get the L out. Did you get it? Take that L out of world and be people of the word. And so that is why we're here today. We are people of the word. Let's go to Acts, the 10th chapter. It's not easy being a human being, is it? I mean, we walk this world. We got to navigate this. You know, we come in contact with people on our jobs, in our neighborhoods. We try to maintain this word in us, hallelujah. But they try us, right? Anybody been tried? And a lot of time when we're walking this walk, sometimes we lose sight of the fact of sometimes of who we are. Sometimes we even ask God, and I'm sure if I asked you to raise your hand, if you'd be honest, you would do it. Sometimes you feel like, is he with me? You know, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Is he with me? Does he hear me? You know, it's a journey, and we have mountains. Hallelujah. I've been on the mountaintop. I've had mountains in my life. But then I've had valleys. Anybody have valleys? You know, I mean, when we're going through these situations, but he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So I'm telling you, regardless of if you're on the mountain or if you're in the valley, he's got you. If you stay in him, he's got you. And so even today, you know, like the tests and trials, but this month is sharing. And I believe that we can share a lot in our testimony. your journey through the valleys and your journey through the mountains and all of that, your through the wilderness or whatever, some of us end up in caves. You know, some of us end up at dead ends. But the beauty is if we were in him, we can turn around and find the right way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? That's all. And so I remember, I'm one of those guys who I listen, when I watch TV or I watch movies, I feel like I should have wrote, like been a writer, because I can finish or anticipate the next line. Anybody like that? You know what's about to be. You know, I gotta tap into that. I need somebody to help me tap into that. You know, any actors or writers, screenwriters in the house? We gotta come up with some stuff. Yeah, right? But there was, I was watching something the other day, and there were two people. This goes back, it's an old series, but it goes back a little ways. I'm not gonna tell you what the series is because it'll distract you. It definitely will. But in this, these are two people that are just, they've gone through a whole lot of stuff. Who's gone through a whole lot of stuff? All of y'all. I'm looking around here, I'm scanning the audience, I see some seasoned people. Mature. And I'm sure that you have gone through some stuff. You have weathered some storms. And so I'm saying that to say, so these two people, they had gone through stuff separately. And one person was asking the other, well, how did you do it? You know, and a lot of times we know that Yahweh's on our side, but these, sometimes we forget who we are in those moments. He said that we are more than conquerors. He said he's made us the head and not the tail. Sometimes we need to be reminded that's what we are. So he was like, how, you know, he asked, how did you get through that? She said, well, I remember who I am, and I remember who I want to be, and I ride it out. And that made a lot of sense. If you know who you are, and you know that you strive to get out the other end better, stronger, then you just ride it out in faith, right? Anybody going through anything this week? Don't raise your hand. But if you are, who are you? You're a child of the Most High God, right? And on the other end is a stronger child of the Most High God. And so all you got to do is trust him, as the song we were just finished saying, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of Yahweh. And you just ride it out. Somebody say hallelujah. You ride it out. So he's with you. So go to Acts. I find a lot of my comfort and seeing what other folks gone through. And I find myself in scripture. And you have to find yourself in scripture. And I love Acts because this is the early church. Right? And I'm trying to encourage people today. I was going to do something else, I thought, but the Holy Spirit is like, no. You do this. Somebody needs to hear this today. So we go to Acts, the 10th chapter, and the 9th verse. And so Peter, or we love to use the Hebrew names, Kepha. That's why we use Yeshua, because Yeshua is his true name. Jesus didn't come to 1611. What were they calling him before that? Yeshua. Yeshua means I will save, rescue, deliver. And that's what he's done in our lives. And so Kepha is here, Peter. If there was a success story of somebody that's been through stuff, we could use Peter as an example or Kepha as an example. He was the one that would say stuff and do stuff. You know, they came to get Yeshua the guards came, the soldiers came to get ready to take him for the cross. This dude cuts the ear off the dude. So Peter was, he was a knife wielding. He cut it. He pulled his knife off and cut dude. When the girl said, "Hey, aren't you with Yeshua? Aren't you with him? You look, you sound like one of them. You don't sound like, you know, us. You're different." And he was like, "No, I don't know him. I'm not that dude." No, she was like, "No, there's something about you. You with him." He was like, "No, you don't know what you're talking about." Now she was like, "Listen, I know for a fact that you're one of those. I mean, you know," and the word says Peter cursed her out. And after he cursed her out, she was like, "Okay, no, you're not one of them." But if he can use a knife carrying cusser outer, he can use y'all. He got purpose. For y'all not glorifying the fact that he did that, he made mistakes. But he overcame those mistakes. And Yahweh showed himself manifest in his life. And so we go here to Acts. We're talking about Peter or Kepha. And in the ninth chapter, it says, on the morrow, on the ninth verse of the 10th chapter of Acts, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Kepha went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. I have learned to stop rushing through scripture. And I really want to catch all the little things. When stuff is going on and life seems to be like rushing by really fast, I think we all need a rooftop experience. We got to slow it down and hear. And the housetop was kind of, it was a, who else is on the top of the roof? I'm not saying, don't get hurt now. You don't have to actually go on the top of your house, but a place, a quiet place where you can be alone. And a lot of times we don't want to be alone. And we shouldn't be that way. We should embrace those times where we can be alone and hear what Yahweh's trying to say to us. And so he went up on the housetop to pray for the sixth hour. And the 10th verse says, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. I'm going to stop there. Sometimes when you get these moments where something is about to happen and he's about to speak, the enemy wants to distract you. When I'm studying and I'm right on the brink of getting like the revelation, the enemy's, "You know, you need to go to the bathroom, don't you? You know what I'm talking about? A distraction. I'm right there. And I begin to like, hey, and Yahweh is speaking to me, and then boom. A distraction tries to present itself. The stomach growls. I'm hungry. And it says he would have eaten. That means he would have stopped the flow that was about to happen. Tell your neighbor, don't stop the flow. You got to be aware of these things. The distractions. And it says he wouldn't have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He got into a meditation. 11th verse, and he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. So you got to remember that in Leviticus, there was certain things that the Jews couldn't eat because it was considered what? Unclean. So God himself, Yahweh, is letting down this sheet in a vision of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, as the apostle says, who's my father, I don't eat bottom feeders. Somebody else said that recently. Things that crawl. Catfish is a bottom feeder. It's quite good. A shrimp is a bottom feeder. Any shrimp lovers in the house? Isn't a lobster a bottom feeder? I'm getting hungry and distracted. But he's showing this stuff. And fowls of the air, stuff that, like, you know, he's not supposed to have any parts in. And then 13 says, and there was a voice to him that said, rise, Kepha. Slay and eat. Kill and eat. 14. But Kepha said, not so, Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Now, he's being shown this stuff. Maybe chitlins and sausage and all this stuff. It's not hog maw. No. That he's not supposed to eat. That he would look at as being adverse. So you would think maybe that the enemy is showing me this. But he knew it was God. He knew it was God presenting this, and he said, no. No, God. Not so. Because if he thought it was the enemy, he would have said it was the enemy. How many times have you said, no, Lord? He's told you to do something. Something that is different for you. And you say, no, Lord. Go talk to that person over there. You say, not so. I got other stuff to do. I mean, I'm being real about this. Sometimes you got $2 in your pocket. I don't know if anybody knows, but the other day, I left my wallet at the office. And I didn't have nothing. I didn't have a license or nothing. I didn't have nothing. An ATM card or nothing. I didn't have no cash or nothing. And I was out there and I was hungry. Because I don't carry cash. I just don't. Maybe I should, but somebody tried to give me a money clip the other day. I was like, bro, if I can use it for my car, yeah. So I was hungry. And in that moment, I was like, Father, I need something to eat. And the only thing that I had was my car and a backpack. So he said, go through the backpack. And I saw this crusty dollar that was just balled up in the bottom of the backpack. And I opened. The dollar, I was hoping that it was more than one. And it was just one. And I was like, I can't get nothing to eat with this because I'm just going to be transparent. I was getting ready to go to McDonald's. I figured that was the cheapest place at the moment. But I couldn't buy nothing for a dollar at McDonald's. So I started going through, and he said, keep on looking. He said, look up under the car seat. Look in the glove compartment. Look in the center console. And as I start going through that car, I was like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He scraped me up $6, y'all. $6. He made the way. Come on. And I was glad about it because I was stranded out in the middle of nowhere and I didn't have nothing. And he said, go through that thing. And I went through there and he manifested 6 crusty dollars And then I was thinking that it'd be changed, but there was no change in the car. He was just giving dollars. And I was like, Father, is this how you work? So all I gotta do is just keep on trusting you, and you're just gonna keep on manifesting the dollars? Hey, maybe somebody needs to hear that this morning. But I had a faith moment there. I was like, I didn't know I had nothing. And then all of a sudden, and I'm sitting here, dude, you're thinking, you're doing all this, the devil's so stupid. You're doing all this, thanks for just $6? I said, yes, I am. When you ain't got nothing. And then I was like, and Father, oh, please don't let me get pulled over because I don't even have my driver's license. But he was manifest, and a lot of times, maybe you only got $2 in your pocket. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm hungry, can you? And the Holy Spirit says, give that to them. And you say, not so, Lord. Because what he was gonna do, if you had done it, he had like 100-fold or 1,000-fold blessing ready for you, but you didn't even get it because you decided to be disobedient. And you said, nah. It's getting quiet in here. Because some of y'all done passed up on some wonderful blessing. Listen, if all you have is $2 and he tells you to give that $2, give it, y'all. Because there's something else in store for you. There's something in store for that person, and there's something in store for you. You need to listen to this because this is about to happen to somebody this week. And so, in this situation, he was presented something and he was like, nah. How dare us tell him no? And a lot of times, listen, y'all, all the time, he's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's trying to tell you some stuff that you need to know, but you may not be willing to do. But he's saying, listen, I want to see if they're going to do what I say. And so what Yahweh said, listen, he says, I'm not going to do that because I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Yeah. And then 15 says, and the voice spake unto him and said the second time, what I or Yahweh have clean, that call not thou common. I did something in this situation, he's saying. So you don't call it common. And this happened 3 times. And then what does it say on the 15th verse, 16th verse? And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. 17. Now why Peter or Kepha doubted in himself. Stop. There was a whole conversation there. There was the Yahweh said something, and he answered. And I'm going to digress for just a second. Yahweh is trying to speak to us. God is trying to speak to us about certain stuff. On The View, Joy Behar said something that she got in trouble for. And she said, talk about believers, Christians. And she said, well, it's okay to talk to Jesus. But the problem is when Jesus talks back to you, as if we're hearing voices. She said it was a joke. But in our case, when we talk to Yahweh in the name of Yeshua, we want to hear back. Come on, y'all. That is our expectation of the Holy Spirit telling us something that we need to know. And so here, there was an exchange, yet Kepha was what? Still doubting in himself. What does this mean? What this vision he had seen means? And beheld the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house or Peter's house and stood before the gate. And this 18th verse says, and before I go to 18th verse, anytime the Holy Spirit is speaking something that you don't understand, pursue it. Seek it out. Try to find the answer. Open up. Shut your mouth up and open up your ears. Because he is trying to speak to you. And this is what we're losing. That's why so many believers are on the losing end of stuff, because we are not using the relationship with the Holy Spirit and listening. We do a whole lot of talking, but we do a lot less listening. And even now, he's trying to tell someone, I am going to speak to you this week. I've got something to say to you that is going to change the very direction of your life. And I need you to be attentive. And if you need to slow it down and go on the housetop, whatever you need to do, slow it down. Because we've got to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so on the 19th verse, it says, and Kepha thought on the vision. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men are looking for you. They seek thee. 20th verse. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them. Doubting. Nothing. This is a problem. Many of you guys pray, oh, Father, speak, Lord. Speak, guide me. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And then when he presents it and starts moving and working, you won't even do what the instructions say. Open a door, Lord. He opens the door and you won't walk through it. You asked for it. But you're operating in your own mind and your own understanding. And I'm telling you right now, God speaks to us in ways that we don't understand. He's just saying, just do it. Just do it. And while this dude is up on the rooftop trying to figure, well, I wonder what that meant. He said, get down. I got three men that are coming to you, and don't doubt, because I sent them. So get out your head and listen to what I'm saying to you. In the 20th verse, and then 21 says, and then Kepha went down to the men that were sent there from Cornelius and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the one whom you seek. What is the cause, therefore, ye are come? What are you doing here? What do you want with me? 22nd verse. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Yahweh, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from Yahweh by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So he was like, God told this man to seek you out, Peter, and that you would have words for him. You would speak something into him. But remember, the Jews, Peter was one of those Jews, was like, well, I can't go there. I can't talk to y'all. Y'all are Gentiles. Y'all not my peoples. So, I can't really hang out with y'all. I don't really got nothing for y'all. But the vision said, what I've cleansed, no man call what? Common. And 23rd verse says, and then he called unto them and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And go to the 25th verse. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius, the man that sent for him, met him, and he fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man. You don't worship me. I'm just a regular dude." And I wasn't wanting to come here, not really understanding what I'm supposed to be here for. And Cornelius was like, "God told me that I needed to seek you out." So now you have two people that have heard from Yahweh what is about to happen. And so he says on the 28th verse, and he said unto them, "You know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. I'm not supposed to kick it with you. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Some stuff that he asks us to do, we don't understand. Some places that he tells us to go, we may not want to go. I was called to, there was a pull for me to go down to Fifth and Town that day. I couldn't do anything else. I had to go there. And when I got there, there were doors of utterance. There were opportunities to speak and to share. And the word tells us some of us just plan. Somebody else comes in waters. And God what? So I just needed, he just said plan. My job that day was to plan. Next week, Ricky comes by and he waters. And if enough of that planting and waters happens of places that we didn't necessarily think that we would go, guess what's going to happen? It's going to grow and Yahweh's going to give the increase. Does anybody believe that? And he said, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for." This is the part I love. "I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent me." What did you even send for me for? 30th verse. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Sometimes you got to fast to get that flesh out the way, to get that soul nature out the way, so that you can really hear what the Spirit is speaking. That's why I'm thankful next month. We're about to go on a fast because I believe that in the Spirit, he's got some heavy things that he was going to be using us for. And he wants us to get that flesh out the way so we can see very clearly what it is we're supposed to do. And I'm telling you, once I get that flesh out the way, I'm going to keep that flesh out the way. Once I get the flesh out the way, I'm going to keep the flesh out the way. And in this case, he was fasting, 31st verse, and said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter or Kepha. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner." The Holy Spirit was very specific. You have to guess and wonder. He was speaking to him very specifically. And a lot of times he's speaking to you very specifically, but you don't want to do it. You don't want it because it's different than what you're thinking and anticipating in your mind. And he was like, "Stop. Get out of your own understanding. Trust me, believe me, and follow my instructions." And so it says, immediately, he's going to see him, that 32nd verse at the end, Tanner by the seaside, "whom he cometh shall speak to thee." 33rd verse, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come." So Cornelius says, "I sent for you, Kepha. I sent for you, Peter, and now you're actually here. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded of thee, of Yahweh. 34th verse, Revelation. Then Peter, or Kepha, opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons. He's moving. He's making things happen. He's orchestrating certain things. And all he wants us to do is to do our part. What he's speaking to us. How many of you he spoke to? Speaking to. That's relationship. And so what he's saying is that I need you to listen because I'm going to be speaking some things to you. And some stuff that he's trying to tell y'all to do, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to do it. But guess what? Don't be like Jonah. He didn't want to do it either. He didn't want to go where he was supposed to go and got swallowed up by a whale and yet thrown to do it. I don't need a Jonah experience. I'm going to do it. And the scripture says that when Kepha got in there and started sharing with these men who were highly anticipating him coming, and he began to tell them about Yeshua, and he began to tell them about what had happened and the transformation. 44th verse. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Come on, y'all. That is what. There is a move of God. There is something in your sharing. There is something in your experience. And I found a lot of times the stuff that I've gone through has allowed me to have a testimony that has helped transform somebody else's life. And you wonder, why did I have to go through that? Well, if it wins a soul to the kingdom, hallelujah. Because guess what? You emerged from it victorious. Now somebody else can hear that and their life can be transformed. I'm not here for my own life anymore. I'm here to make change. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to stir up transformation. And what Yahweh is saying by way of the Holy Ghost, he's saying, y'all too comfortable. Straight up. Y'all too comfortable. I'm going to sit here in this house you gave me. I'm just going to drive to the places I want to drive in the car that you gave me. I just want to sit around and barbecue the food that you gave me. But other than that, I'm good. And what he's saying to y'all, he's saying, get thee up and get out there and do the work that I have created you to do. Get out there and have conversations with people. Get out there and find out what's really going on in the world. Get out there and share what you've been through, and somebody else is going to be transformed by the work that you do. Stop being comfortable. Get out of the box. Go on down there to Fifth and Town or the corner of La Brea and wherever he done told you to go. He done told you to go down to Compton and do something. Go down to Compton and do something. He told you to go to Watts. Go on to Watts and do something. He told you to go to Skid Row. Go to Skid Row and do something. He tells you to go to East Long Beach or North Long Beach. Get out there and go where he's telling you to go. He wants you to have conversations. Share. No, I can't hang out down there. Shut up. If you don't do the work, who gonna do the work? If you don't open your mouth, who's gonna open their mouth? If you don't make a difference, who's gonna make a difference? And he said, stop being comfortable. He said, I didn't create you to be comfortable. Where in the Word did he say that he created you to just sit there and lay back and just do the stuff that you want to do? If you find it, show me where it is. But everything he's saying, get thee out. Go. Open up your mouth. Say. And then in the 41st verse, when you speaking what the Holy Ghost tells you to speak and doing what the Holy Ghost is instructing you to do, the Holy Ghost is the one that's making the move. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. I'm not trying to, listen, I'm not a hooper and a hollerer. I'm not here to say, hallelujah. I'm not doing that. That's not my style. But I get excited when I hear the word of God going forth and him giving instruction and trying to get his people to get it in gear and get out here and do some stuff. Time is wrapping up. We read it last week. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because night cometh and nobody will be able to do no work. Y'all, it's daytime right now. And I don't know about you, but I want to be used. And when he calls me up to glory, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to be standing in line and sweating like, oh God, what's he going to say to me when I get up there? I want to stand up there and be like, listen, everything that you told me to do, I did. You know what? I didn't want to be standing up here. But by the glory, Yahweh had to tell me, dude, just open up your mouth and do what I tell you to do. You just a vessel. Because I was like, well, I can't do that. He said, it's not about you. He said, if you have the courage to stand up there, he said, I'm going to give you what to say in that self-same hour. So that's why I'm here. I ain't here for no other reason. I'm here to encourage you. I'm just a regular old dude, y'all. I just want to do the work. Ain't nothing special about me. I don't even have the pastor voice. And as we stand here, I'm like, that's not me. I'm just a person. I'm just willing. And I'm ready to do whatever it is. Is there anybody like a regular person like me out there? You just regular. Ain't nothing extraordinary about you, but you're just available. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. Father, Yahweh, thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving us purpose, for giving us direction, for just showing us in your word that you're just using ordinary people. Kafer was just an ordinary guy that made mistakes. Yet, you still used him. David was a person that made mistakes, but yet you said he was a man after your own heart. So, Father, we have these hearts here today who just want to love you. We just want to serve you. We just want to be available to you. We just want to do your work before you come back. We need you to continue to speak to us, Father. We apologize if we have not listened or we've said no, Lord. It's not our intent. Our intent really is to do your will and to do your way, Father. So, Father, let people go out of here encouraged that you are with them. And no matter what the shortcomings have been, you can still use them. No matter what the mistakes have been, you can still work through them. Use their lives, Father. And so, Father, if we've done anything, said anything, acted out any kind of way that is adverse to you, we apologize. Forgive us right now. Cleanse us. We want to walk in the way of holiness. We want to walk in the way of truth. But we're encouraged today, Father, Yahweh. Because you haven't given up on us. You have a work for us, and so we're thankful. Continue to speak, continue to move, continue to manifest. And we give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Keep your head bowed. Really quickly, I just have to really make a quick call for those who say, listen, I hear what you're saying. I want relationship.